Some of you may remember the old game show on television called To Tell the Truth. Or maybe you've seen it on the game show channel. It's a classic game show in which a person of notoriety and two imposters try to match wits with a panel of four celebrities. The object of the game is to try to fool the celebrities into voting for the two imposters. And at the end of each segment in this game show, the announcer would always say, "And now, would the real John Smith please stand up?" And those three people on the panel would kind of take turns, kind of inching up and down, trying to fool those celebrities until finally the real John Smith did stand up. I can only imagine if the pictures of Jesus that many of us have came to life on such a game show as To Tell the Truth. You know, the first one would be the Fabio Jesus. The first panel member would be Fabio Jesus, depicted in the picture that hangs in many church fellowship halls. You've seen it. It's the picture that's often in the front of our Bibles. It's the picture that you might even have in your home. It's the Jesus that's muscular, that's pictured as 6'4" with flowing dirty blonde hair and blue eyes. Then the second person on the panel might be depicted by the picture of Jesus holding a lamb. Maybe you've seen that picture too. This Jesus would be a skinny Jesus, tame and predictable, who you'd really have to listen to because he'd be so soft-spoken. And then finally, a third person on that panel might be the picture that we have of Jesus in the book of Revelation. It's the picture of Jesus coming to judge the world, riding on a white horse with fire in his eyes and a sword by his side. A picture of a mean Jesus. A picture of Jesus like someone from the WWE, a wrestler who can kick some major you-know-what. We have many pictures of Jesus, but when it comes to the real Jesus, when it comes time for the real Jesus to stand up and be counted, I want to suggest to you that we not forget the radical Jesus. Jesus was radical. He was not some tame biblical Mr. Rogers. He didn't speak in King James English. Instead, Jesus is radical. I believe that it's in rediscovering the radical Jesus and just how radical he was that we can really have an appreciation for the mandate, for the mission, for the reason of existence for New Season United Methodist Church. Our mission here at New Season United Methodist Church, our mandate, the reason why we exist as a body of Christ, is to make and to empower radical followers of Jesus Christ. Make and empower radical followers of Jesus Christ. It makes sense if that's our mission, if that's what we feel that God is calling us to do, that God has laid on our heart, then it makes sense we know something about the radical nature of Jesus Christ. So when the real Jesus is asked to stand up, what we find is that he's not tame and he's not predictable. In fact, when we look at the scriptures like we read this morning, what we find is that Jesus did just about everything he wasn't supposed to do in his day. He healed on the Sabbath, that is, the day of rest. One of the religious rules of Jesus' day were that you could not do certain things on the Sabbath, but Jesus did them anyways. He argued with the religious leaders of his day time and time again. He forgave people's sins. And that just burned the people up because only God the Father was supposed to forgive sins. But instead it was this radical Jesus. Here was Jesus, literally God with us, dwelling in human form, eating with the wrong people in the wrong houses. You see, the Bible tells us that Jesus didn't hang out with the righteous people, but instead Jesus hung out in the smoking section. That Jesus hung out with the scoundrels of his day, like Levi, the tax collector. That Jesus hung out with the sinners. That Jesus even dared to talk to prostitutes to offer them the love of God in himself. Those were all people that the religious leaders of Jesus' day wouldn't even be caught dead talking to. But here was the radical Jesus talking to those people. And Jesus was a rule breaker. He didn't break rules just for the sake of breaking rules. But Jesus was so radical that he broke the rules because he wanted to demonstrate God's love in such a profound way. And he wanted to point out how the rules of the religious people of the day were really hindering the people from living a life of freedom. You see, Jesus didn't fit into people's simplistic equation of what religion was supposed to look like. People had quickly found that when Jesus came to town, he disrupted the normal pattern of life, right? I mean, in the Bible, there's all these stories that Jesus went to a particular town. Jesus would go into the town, and inevitably, some sick people would come to him. Some people who were either sick physically or mentally. Maybe they were possessed by a demon. And Jesus would touch them or say a word to them and heal them. And almost 9 times out of 10 in those instances, when Jesus did that, the people turned around and asked him to leave. They said, "Jesus, get out of here," even though Jesus did a wonderful thing. Why did they do that? They did that because Jesus was wrecking up what their picture of a normal pattern of life was supposed to be. And those people knew that if Jesus stayed around, that he'd upset the social, religious, and economic scope of things. After all, Jesus was the one who went to the temple, that is to say, the church of his day, the big mega church in Jerusalem. And when he went there, he saw that some people were desecrating this house of God, that people were turning it into a flea market, that they were selling stuff right in the middle, that they had all kinds of animals running all over the place. And so Jesus got angry enough about it, indignant anger, and he overturned the tables that were in the temple. And then he took out a whip and he began to drive out the animals. Jesus disrupted the normal pattern of life. Quite frankly, friends, I would say that this Jesus, this radical Jesus that we find in Scripture, he wouldn't be welcome to teach Sunday school in many of our churches across the land. So you might be thinking, well, that's well and good that Jesus was not tame and predictable. But what difference does that make for me? Or as sometimes we like to say here at New Season, who cares? Who cares about all this? Why does this make a difference? Well, if we're a Christian, and a Christian is someone who follows Christ, then it makes sense that we would try to know as much as we can about who Jesus is, about who this one we're supposed to follow is really like. And if we're not a Christian yet, if we're still trying to make sense of all this Jesus stuff, it makes sense that we would know who we might one day be professing to follow, that we know who he was before we signed up and signed our life away. So what then does it look like for someone to radically follow Jesus? What does that picture look like? Part of what it means to radically follow Jesus, to be a radical follower of Christ, is to leave the safe places. It's to venture out. It means leaving behind the tame and the predictable. You know, before the scripture that I read this morning, in the verses before it, there's the story of Jesus' baptism. That Jesus one day went to a guy named John the Baptizer, and he asked to be baptized with a whole bunch of other people. And so Jesus was baptized there in the Jordan River. As Jesus came back up out of the Jordan River, how nice the picture is that the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. came out of heaven and touched on Jesus. It's kind of like at weddings today where they let the doves go. It's all very pretty and very tranquil. Kind of like a bad episode of The Wedding Story. But then, just a few verses later, that same Holy Spirit, pictured as a dove before, drives Jesus out into a wilderness, out into an unsafe place. That same Holy Spirit then pushes Jesus out into the wilderness that was filled with wild animals, that was filled with vultures, that Jesus had to go without food and water for 40 days, and he had to be tempted by the devil. You see, the Holy Spirit pushed Jesus out of the safe place of his baptism and out into the wilderness so Jesus could get prepared for his 3 years of ministry. Part of being a radical follower of Jesus Christ is that we too sometimes are called from the safe place and pushed out into the wilderness. Being a follower of Jesus that is radical is not a call to a comfortable life. For we are all at one point or another driven into the wilderness. Going to school for the first time, leaving home after graduating from high school to get your own job is like going into the wilderness. Buying the house is like going into the wilderness. Starting a family is sometimes like going into the wilderness. Starting a business is sometimes like going into the wilderness. Starting a church is sometimes like going into the wilderness. Lord knows. Being poor is sometimes going into the wilderness. Yet we go because it's in these wildernesses. It's in these difficult places, in these desert places, that God works on us, that God molds us, and that we become radical followers of Jesus Christ. Because whether we find ourselves in one of those unsafe places, one of those wildernesses, because we felt called by God to step out in faith and go there, or whether we are there because of some circumstance, we can rest assured that God is with us, ministering to us, just as in that story, angels ministered to Jesus. Radical followers of Jesus Christ are, number two, also passionate. They're passionate. Jesus showed passion in the temple as he overturned those tables of the money changers, of the swindlers. And he called the religious leaders to account. You know, following someone like Jesus who is so radical doesn't mean that it's a ho-hum type of following. Oh, ho-hum, I think I'll get up this morning and follow Jesus. Following Jesus who is radical isn't about giving 76.5% of yourself. It's about giving 110% of yourself and asking him to invade your life, your being, your work, your family, your friendships, your recreation, your everything. The radical followers of Christ recognize that the one they follow is the one who, after all, ultimately walked out of the grave in resurrection. And that was a radical thing. It's this passion that helps us to, like Christ, comfort the disturbed and disturb the comforted. You know, for too long, we've asked followers of Christ to have the right mind. That is to say and to believe the right things. Our goal in Christianity has been to just impart knowledge to people. And while it's good to have knowledge and it's good to know, the passion of a radical follower of Christ comes when there's that connection between head and heart, where one feels that burning in their heart. It's when Jesus reaches our heart that we live passionately for him. When that happens, we create a tension in the world. That is to say, wherever we live, at work, at school, wherever we spend our days, that's our world. We'll create a tension there, a tension that can transform us and that will transform other people, because we are demonstrating the reckless love of Jesus Christ as a radical follower of Jesus Christ. The radical followers of Christ will, lastly, turn the world upside down. You know, one of the names of Jesus that the Bible gives to him is that Jesus is the Lion of Judah. He's the Lion of Judah. And you know that lions are the king of the jungle, and that they can sometimes be unpredictable. They can sometimes be ferocious. Radical followers of Christ, like Christ himself, will demonstrate a holy ferociousness when it comes to turning the world upside down, to turning it on its head by sharing unashamedly the love of Jesus Christ with the world, by standing up and against injustice, by standing up and being counted in the public square. That's what it means to turn the world upside down as a radical follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't call us anymore to just kind of lay by the side and to let the world go by, but he calls us to stand up and to be counted and to be radical. To wake up. To let the fire of the Holy Spirit burn in our hearts. To lead a new life. Tracy, we're off the script, so don't try to find me. Tracy's running the screen. Today, if we want to find a picture of Jesus that's real, we have to consult the Scripture, the Bible. And when we do that, what we'll find is that Christ was radical. That he wasn't some pushover. That he wasn't afraid to deal with the people that were a little dirty. That he wasn't a status quo type of person. Instead, he is God with us. And as God with us, he was unpredictable and radical. Part of our vision here at New Season is to be an incubator of radical followers of Jesus Christ. To help make and empower people to be radical followers of Christ. Because you know, in the end, the world doesn't need another institutional religion that just goes out and tells people what to do. But what the world needs is a church committed to demonstrating the reckless love of Christ. Maybe you've been a follower of Christ for some time, but you haven't completely sold out. You haven't completely said, okay, Jesus, invade every part of my being. Or maybe you're someone that's thinking about all this stuff, and until now you thought it was just a bunch of rules, a bunch of stuff that you had to do. Wherever you are in your faith and on your journey, I want to invite you this week to get on the knees of your heart and to tell Jesus where you are and to ask him to invade every part of your being, that you might be a radical follower of Jesus Christ, that we could turn this world upside down, that we could comfort the disturbed and disturb the comforted, that we might be Christ's hands and feet in a lost and hungry world.